Good morning, good evening, whichever is correct, and good to be with you today. It's Tim Broyles, pastor of Marbleton Free Will Baptist. I'm so glad to be able to come to you by the sound of voice. And some of you might like it better, you don't have to look at me. But anyway, I'm so thankful to be able to come to you today. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for what it stands for. We thank you, Lord, for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for each one that'll be listening today, and I ask you to bless, to touch, and to guide, to anoint. Pray, Lord, you'd move upon hearts. And if there's any unsaved that hear the sound of my voice, that today would be the day they'd ask you to come into their heart. Father, I pray for your direction, your help, your guidance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Don't know when we'll be able to be back together as a church in the building here, but I'm so thankful that the building is not just the church is not just a building. I'm thankful that we're still tied together. We're still part of the body of Christ, and we're each members of His body, of the body, and I'm thankful for that. And let's just continue to pray for each other during this time, and pray for our families, pray for protection and safety and guidance. And Lord, give us wisdom, and that we could do things the way He would have us to do. We have to do things a little different. But we're still preaching the gospel. We're still getting the word out. Each of us, I hope, we're still involved in witnessing and doing the things that the Lord has called us to do and would have us to do. And want to come with you today and share the thought that the Lord had laid on my heart. The King is coming. The King is coming. It don't matter what disease, no matter what kind of problems, turmoils that comes our way, there's one thing that it cannot change. It cannot change the kingdom and the kingship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And want to share with you a Palm Sunday message and about the King is coming. And we'll be in the book of Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Some will also be in the book of John chapter 12. And we had preached, I think maybe last week, in John chapter 12, earlier on in the chapter. But we're going to hear today be on down about verse 12 and talking about Jesus coming in, His triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, a week before He rises from the dead, within a week of when He is killed. And we know and see things about the president's motorcade. When he comes in to town, Rhonda and I worked out of town years ago, and we was in the D.C. area and was... this happened to be in D.C. one time when the president was on the move. Oh, my. Helicopters, roads cut out. It was amazing. And then, of course, we know familiar when the president came here just recently and how all the roads was shut down and the things that when a president visits a city, it's like a well-oiled security machine. They roll into town with Secret Service, and up to 3 months before the president's visit, Secret Service begins checking local routes for safe points and entry and egress, and they're real cautious about areas. And then as a date gets closer, they bring in bomb-sniffing dogs and equipment, check parked cars and potential stops along the route, set up canopies where the president might leave his... a heavily armored limousine named the Beast. They send coordinators and agents to hospitals to be sure that the president is within 10 minutes of a hospital somewhere. And if he stays in a hotel, they'll clean out like three floors and remove all electronics. And it's a They say that preparations for a local government could be $90,000 for a single visit. And the federal government will spend sometimes up to $3 million on one visit. And was thinking about all the security and everything that goes in to the President of the United States coming in and visiting. Well, God of the universe entered Jerusalem here in this story. And I was thinking about, could you imagine if Jesus came now, and thinking about him entering that day, and one thing about it, that statement I made, could you imagine if Jesus came and we all knowed and that it had set up for him, but well, he is coming. And I'm thankful that I can report to you today that that's not changed, that he is still in control, he is still in charge, and he is still coming again. Just as sure as he came this time in this story. And I want to read Zechariah 9 and verse 9 to you. The Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And then John chapter 12, verse 12 says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." And when I asked the Lord to add the blessings upon his reading, but of his word, but I want to think now and get our minds on the King is coming. And the first thing that I see and have in mind is here in verse 1 is the question of the King's coming. Here that it said, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem." When they heard, I thought about this, when they heard that he was coming. And the Greek word here for heard, that means it's akouo, it's audible, it's to hear, it's reported, one of the words, and it's an understanding. So thinking about this phrase and the Greek meaning of it, it means to hear, and it also means to be reported or recorded. Would work in that, and an understanding of it that we realize, and not only do we hear, but it sinks in that we understand and realize exactly what's being said and what has been said. You know, it had been recorded back in Zechariah 9:9. I just read it, that he was coming on a little donkey, that he would ride into town. And the Bible here says, "O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee." He was coming humbly upon a little donkey. They had heard audible voices from heaven. Back in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, at Jesus' baptism, the Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Could you imagine hearing God's word and God speaking and magnifying his Son and saying, I'm proud of him? And then in Matthew 17, verse 5, the Bible also says that on Mount Transfiguration, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." I'm thankful for the Lord that he, amen, Jesus. He amened his coming. He amened that he was truly the Son of God. That they had heard right out. Could you imagine hearing in the clouds and a voice coming down, and this is my son. I'm proud of him. You listen to him. You listen and do what he tells you to do. Glory, hallelujah. What a blessed hope and a blessed thought that I see here. See, they had heard and had inquired. And back in chapter 11 here of John in verse 56, then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye that he will not come to the feast? They was asking, is Jesus going to be here at this feast and we're all going to gather and come in? Is Jesus going to show up? We want to see him. And the question they had inquired, if he was coming. Now they hear that he's coming for sure. And wanted to take just a second here and think about this. And you know, these folks that showed up that day, it wasn't an accident they showed up. It wasn't a mere coincidence that just so happened they was in town when Jesus came. You know, it's not a coincidence that you was in the church service when God moved upon your heart and called upon your heart and you asked Jesus into your heart. Glory, hallelujah. It wasn't a coincidence when God moved upon me. It wasn't a coincidence that I worked with a preacher back in 1993 that started talking to me on a job. It's not a coincidence that God puts people in our paths. It's not a coincidence when the Holy Spirit moves. It's not a coincidence when God gives you a divine appointment to share the gospel with someone. It's not a coincidence when God gives you spiritual gifts and for you to use them. It's not a coincidence when we get continually filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad of that today? And thinking of this, it's not a coincidence that these folks showed up, that they came. God had ordained it, and it was set up for them to be together. The question, see, today also, Jesus' next coming is in question. Folks don't believe. You don't hear much of it. You don't hear a whole lot of messages like we used to about his coming. A lot of things and people just really don't believe it. It's kind of, maybe not don't believe it, but it's just not on the forefront of our minds. It's kind of something in the background. Well, they say it's going to happen one day, and they've said it for a long time. I've heard that statement. Well, they said it when I was a little kid, and it's still not happened. You know, Peter alludes to that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know that chapter, and it goes on to say that said the Lord's not slack in his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. It's not that Jesus is not coming back. It's that he's given us full opportunities. He's given you another chance to cast Jesus into your heart. He's given you another chance to be the witness that he wants you to be. He's given you another chance to win your co-worker, to win your family, to win your neighbor. He's given us the opportunities. He don't want anybody to go to hell. And some people might say, well, he's not coming. It's because of his love and his mercy and his grace. Aren't you thankful? I'm so thankful for the grace of God and his mercy. We see the question of the king's coming. The next thing I want to look at is the carrier of the king. Not only was it a question about his coming, I want us to look at the carrier, the one that brought him into town. In Zechariah 9:9, again at the latter part of that verse, it says, thy king cometh, and to thee he is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And verse 14 and 15 In John it says, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt, the carrier of the king. You want to thinking of something as a donkey. This little donkey had an appointment. This little donkey was created for this minute. God had a goal for this donkey. And before the foundation was ever laid upon the earth, it was picked 500 years before this had happened, around that time that Zechariah wrote down about this little donkey. And it was, wow, when I think about that, and I think about how wonderful, magnificent, how amazing God is, that he picked a little donkey. Glory, hallelujah. And this little donkey, he just picked him. He had him picked out. Jesus told the disciples in the other accounts of the gospel exactly where to go get this little donkey. It was standing there ready. If anybody asked, said, the Lord has need for it. And when they went, and sure enough, there he stood. Well, glory, hallelujah. There he was ready to be used. There he was ready to carry the king into Jerusalem. Are we that eager to be used of the Lord? See, God has designed us for a specific goal and reason and purpose. And are we lined up? Are we tied up and ready to be used? Thinking about this and how amazing that is. See, he had handpicked this little animal to carry salvation into Jerusalem. He had picked this little donkey to carry the gospel in to Jerusalem, to carry the gospel to where we could hear it, to where we could know about it. And a lot of things that we think about, and we think back in scripture, and we think of big things, and we think of stories that we were taught when we was little, how important this little donkey was. God had handpicked him and had a specific chore, a specific job for him to do. Back in Exodus chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, the Bible said that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that open the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. See, the carrier, in all probability, had to be redeemed. This little donkey had to be redeemed. That was God's call in it, the law that they give it. And so we see that this carrier had to be redeemed. See, we are gospel carriers. We are saying, I'm not going to call you a donkey this morning. You say, boy, the preacher's really, I might get some bad letters, but I'm going. But God has designed each of us, and we are carriers of the gospel. We've got just as an important position as that little donkey had. When God designed everything about salvation, he had designed me and you with the specific purpose to carry the gospel. There's somebody that we can carry the gospel to. There's somebody that we can share. There's somebody that we can lead to the Lord. And he has called us, and we have been handpicked for this specific job that he has for us. Isn't that exciting? Does that not excite you this morning? That God has you in mind. That God that didn't save you just to save you from hell, but he saved you so you could help carry the gospel to the next. I'll tell you something else that ought to excite us. You may be listening to me and never ask Jesus into your heart. Boy, isn't it exciting? You can still do that today. You can still ask him to come into your heart. You can still say, Lord, I want to be used of you. Will you forgive me and come into my heart? I'm so glad that we are carriers too But we have to be redeemed. This little donkey, the laws of God, he had to be redeemed. We have to be redeemed. Did you ever think the donkey would have to be redeemed by a lamb? Woo! That'll preach right there. I could hold on and preach a long time right there. That donkey had to be redeemed by a little lamb. And that lamb would take the place and be redemption. See here in this verse, God ordered redemption for the unclean by putting the clean in their stead. So the unclean donkey had to be cleaned by a little lamb without spot and blemish. An unclean rascal like Tim Broyles had to be cleaned by the Lamb of God. Glory, hallelujah. I had to be bought back. I had been sold into slavery under sin's bondage and yokes. And because of the blood that little Lamb of Jesus Christ that came and shed his precious blood for my sins, he redeemed me, and praise his holy name, then I'm made usable. See, the donkey couldn't be used. Instead, the Bible said to break their necks if they're not redeemed back. Glory. Hallelujah. This little donkey carried the perfect Lamb of God for our redemption. Praise his holy name. I see the question of the king's coming and the carrier of the king. The third thing I want us to look at is the gift of the king. And thinking of this gift. And it says there in 9:9 that rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. The gift of the king, see, the Bible says he lowly, he was humble when he come in. Having salvation, praise his name. He brought salvation to the world. Without him, there was no hope of salvation. Without him, we would have no hope that we would. It would be hell and nothing else. He brought salvation. He was humble. He humbled himself unto the cross. He let them beat him and pull the beard out of his face and let them smite him and spit on him and do all these things. How humble our Savior was. And he was just. He was righteous. And praise his name. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That he was perfect and upright, and because of him, we become perfect and upright in God's eyes. Isn't that a blessing today? That he is just and makes us just before God. Before Babylonian exile, kings rode horses into war, but they rode donkeys in time of peace. The Bible here says he came on a donkey. He came in peace. He came bringing peace. What a gift, these gifts that he had brought in. But he brought, I get one of the precious things in the life of a believer is the peace of God. The peace with God gives you the peace of God. And I'm so thankful of the peace of God. When you lay your head on the pillow at night, everything's okay. You don't let, like what's going on in the world today, and it is a fearful thing, and I'm not downplaying it by no means, and it's horrible. But if you've got peace of God, you're at peace with God, and you've got the peace of God that dwells within you, that you know, you say, boy, this is bad, and I hate it, and I hope everything's okay, but no matter what comes, that God's still in control. He's still got this. He is still on the throne. He's still got my salvation, and I'm on my way to heaven no matter what happens, and I have got peace with God and peace with everything, and I'm all right. Glory, hallelujah. This peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, the Bible calls him, Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. Wow, what a tag to have on your name and have. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And on the Sea of Galilee, back in a couple counts in the Gospels, he was the speaker of peace. Not only is he a prince of it, but he can speak the words. And the disciples, I remember in that story, they said, what man is this that even the winds and seas obey his voice? Glory, hallelujah. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the speaker of peace. And when Jesus was going away in chapter 14 and verse 27, he had told them early in the chapter not to be afraid, not to worry, and that if you believe in God, believe in him. And he went on, but on down in the chapter, down verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, he Prince of Peace, he's a speaker of peace, and when he left the disciples with peace. And not only them, he left us with peace. We wasn't saved yet, we wasn't born yet, but it's still, he said, the peace I leave with you. It is just as much for us as it was the disciples in that day. I want to ask you, do you know the speaker of peace? Do you know the peace speaker this morning? Has he spoke peace into your heart? Has he spoke peace into your soul? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you took your last breath, if he was one of the casualties of his coronavirus, that you could wake up in heaven and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything's all right? See, he speaks peace. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The word chastisement is, and thinking of this, he took upon himself the sufferings which would secure peace for us. His beatings, the suffering, the turmoil, the things he took, and the reasoning for that was so we could have peace. Glory, hallelujah. I don't know about you. Dan's here watching me. I'm about ready to take a running spell. That he, every lash that he took, all of the ridicule, the things that we'll be talking about next Sunday, and the things he went through for us, every bit of it was for some part for us. And the chastisement, he took it for our peace. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Glory, hallelujah. And in Romans 5:1, the Bible talks about he secured peace with God, being justified by faith, that he made us at peace with God. And when we are at peace with God, he has took care of the sin problem. We stand justified before God. And when we are justified before God, then we are at peace. We have the peace of God. That passes all understanding. Praise his name. It's no wonder they hollered Hosanna. It's no wonder they said, blessed be the King of Israel that's coming in. Glory, hallelujah. It's no wonder they got excited. It's no wonder they shouted and went on. If you remember, Jesus told them, he said, the Pharisees said, why don't you call them down? He said, if they don't cry out, the rocks will have to cry out. Glory, hallelujah. I don't want a rock to have to cry out for Tim. I want to do it myself. I want to thank him all the days of my life and praise his holy name. Glory, hallelujah. This evening, aren't you glad for that? I'm thankful for what he has done for us. How about you? Glory, hallelujah. See, this was taken from Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. Hosanna, and the Bible says, save now. And to save us, see, clothes was thrown down in front of kings when they'd come in so their feet wouldn't have to touch the dirt. They didn't want them to have to dirty their feet up. When Jesus rolled in, they didn't even want the donkey to have to get his feet dirty. And they cut down the palm branches and they waved them. And these were a sign of celebration for the for Sukkoth. And it's a sign of victory and peace. And it was really a national emblem. It'd be kind of like us waving flags when the president comes in. That's pretty much what they were doing with the palm branches. Their money even had palm, some of their money had palm branch leaves on them. And it was a big thing for that nation. And it'd be just like us waving flags. And they was waving them palm branches. And they were praising the King of Heaven. They were praising the King of Israel. They were welcoming me in. Come on, King, and get us. Come on in and take over. I tell you, today, are we waving them palm branches? Are we saying, come on back, Jesus? Come so, Lord Jesus, as the Apostle John said in the book of Revelation. Glory. Praise his name this morning. I've seen the question of the king's coming. The carrier of the king. The gift of the king. I want to share, and this won't be long. The last point is the conquest of the king. In chapter 9 of Zechariah, verse 9 and 10, we read verse 9 is the prophecy of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. Now, some will probably, folks believe different, and especially when it comes to eschatology and things, prophecy. But I'm convinced that verse 10 was talking of another time, around 2,000 years later. This is talking of the time of. In Zechariah 9, verse 10 says, and I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even unto the ends of the earth. Glory, hallelujah. This is when our Savior comes back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Glory, hallelujah. He comes back this time. They'll not put no crown on his head of thorns this time. They'll not whip him with the cat of nine tails this time. They'll not mock and make fun of him this time. They'll be looking for a hiding place. They'll be running. And I'm thankful that he comes in and he sets his kingdom up here on earth, and he'll reign with the saints of God. Glory, hallelujah. What a blessed hope that we have. This is his conquest. He came in to Jerusalem. That was just the start. Well, glory. That wasn't the end of the story. That was the end of the beginning. Well, glory. We're going to be toward the end. Praise his holy name. He's coming back again. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 and 7 that there is going to be no end of his government, of his rule, and peace. Praise his holy name. Can you say with me, Hosanna, praise be to the King. Praise his holy name this morning. I tell you, we got some, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, you got something to shout about this morning. We won't see him riding in on a donkey, but he's coming back. I can guarantee you, just as sure as he rolled in that day on that little donkey and they waved the palm branches, he's coming back to gather his jewels. He's coming back. I might be an old lump of coal right now. Well, glory, Dan. I'll be a diamond someday. I'm going to be part of the jewels that when he makes up his crown. Well, glory, hallelujah. I'm so thankful today. Aren't you glad to be in the number? Aren't you glad to be saved? Ain't you glad that he's coming back to get you? Praise his name. You might say, preacher, I'm not ready. Well, why praise his name in today would be a good day for you to say, Jesus, will you forgive me? Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and change me. Make me what you want me to be. Change my life completely. Help me to be what you want. I praise you and thank you. Glory, hallelujah. Praise be the Lamb of God. See, the King is coming. He's came once, but he's coming again. Praise his holy name. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, to share a message of hope. And I'm thankful, God, that we could share it with each other. We could encourage each other. We can lift each other up. And we can say, Hosanna, praise. Jesus, save us. Glory, hallelujah. And Father, I pray for each one that hears my voice today, that you would touch and bless according to your perfect will. And Father, if there's any that don't know you, this would be the day they would call upon you. Lord, encourage the saved. Heal the sick. And Lord, I pray for this awful disease that's going around, this virus. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just protect us, put your hand upon us. And Lord, that you'd help and heal our people, heal our land. Lord, help us to seek your face and call upon you. And you said you'd forgive us our sins and heal our land. Lord, and when we turn from our wicked ways. Father, I pray today that you would help and guide us. Thank you for Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday. Thank you that he's coming again. Praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We will continue to bring in new messages. We'll have probably another video on Wednesday evening. Next Sunday, I don't know. I'm praying about what the Lord would like to have something a little different. And so we're praying about that. But I want to encourage you just to hang in. And don't know when we changed it on our website. I don't know when we're going to be able to have services again. So we just we put on there, we really don't know that it is indefinite. And so we will keep you updated. We'll update through the call multiplier. We'll update through our website and word of mouth and the things. But boy, we sure miss you. I can't wait till we can all get together again. And when I look over these pews, I'm looking and thinking of people that sits in these pews. Miss being together, but praise be to God, I'm so glad that we could unite our hearts this morning with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad when Jesus went away, he said, I'll leave you that peace. That peace is the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, the Comforter. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, that the Comforter come. And he'll bring back to remembrance all the things I told you. Praise his name this morning. Look forward to maybe talking to you again here in about midweek. And may the Lord richly bless you. And take care. Be safe. Don't take no chances. And may God bless you. And God bless you.